For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. It is July 26th, and we are ready to start talking about training camp. That's right, everybody, veterans, rookies, assistants, everybody in the Detroit Lions organization is reported for training camp. And that means we are about a little over a month away, about 40 days away from the start of the NFL season. It is right around the corner. And we are going to be drinking the blue Kool-Aid hard for those 40 days leading up to the start of the season and the home opener. But before we get into all that, introduce the blue Kool-Aid crew. So we got Bob.
Hello there.
Then UJ.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Woo!
And I'm Big Z. And we'll, I think Rud Dog might be hopping on a little bit later into the podcast. But we are getting ready to roll with it. First of all, shout out to the Lady Lions, who took over the podcast.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Right, that was good.
Right before we started with the training camp. But yeah, it was a nice little interesting, angle on the Lions that we haven't covered yet in the 3+ years we've been doing this podcast. So kudos to them. Hopefully we'll have them on in the future again sometime, but right now we're going to be diving in, to training camp. There is a lot to talk about, obviously, pivotal year two of the Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell era, a lot of things going on. Which group should we talk about first out of all the position groups? I want to leave it to you. Wow. We'll have UJ pick the first one that you want to talk about.
Well, let's go with linebackers. Okay. Let's go with linebackers.
Linebackers.
This is going to be probably one of the most interesting camp battles with the linebackers here, I think. So let's just start there.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I forgot to mention before we start that the Lions hired JT Barrett as offensive assistant, former Ohio State quarterback. Didn't really pan out too much in the NFL, but I thought it was just an interesting note. So, linebacker. The only really notable departure was Jalen Reeves Maven, but we brought back Alex Anzalone. Derek Barnes is back for his second year. Charles Harris, technically listed as a linebacker, although he's really a defensive end. This is where you get a little wonky, especially with the Lions shifting to a 4-3 this year, or more of a 4-3. They're probably not going to always be in a 4-3. But anyways, the rest of the competing linebackers, Chris Board, Gerard Davis, he's back.
Yeah.
We've mentioned him before. We haven't talked about him in a little while.
Like a bad penny.
Sean Dion Hamilton. Anthony Pittman, Malcolm Rodriguez, our draft pick this year, late round draft pick. Josh Woods, outside linebacker James Houston, and then Natrez Patrick. I don't know. He'll have to earn it.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are linebackers. I'd say out of all those, the only guaranteed roster spots would be Alex Anzalone, Derek Barnes, and Charles Harris. Otherwise, a lot of these guys, this is a really open competition here in training camp.
You don't think Gerard Davis is guaranteed to be a roster?
Not if he's played the way he has so far in his career. I can't say he's a roster. I mean, do you guys think he's a roster lock?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that they went and got him again.
I don't know if he's a lock, but I think what they're going to do is they're going to be a lot smarter coaching him than the previous regime. And I think they're going to find something that he's just really good at. And I think that's going to be kind of a situational pass rusher kind of guy. I don't think he's going to be a three down backer, but I think they found a valuable spot for him, and he could be a very effective player in the right role. So I do think he makes the roster, but I don't know if he'll be like an every down type player, in my opinion.
Gotcha. But,
yeah. Cause we've always talked about in the past, you know, how he was poorly coached, and we'll see if that works.
Exactly.
Makes a difference here.
And what about Malcolm Rodriguez?
Wait,
Go ahead.
One more note on Davis, though. I think another reason that he has a decent chance of making the roster, because we've always thought he's a good blitzer in his career.
Yeah.
The coverage
exactly
leaves a lot to be desired. Even some of his run stuffing abilities, not what we expected. But as far as being a good blitzer, we always enjoyed him in the past. And I think the Lions are looking to be more aggressive with their blitz packages from that linebacker position this year. So I think that does benefit him to a degree to making this roster.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
Just based on interviews and such, they've said they'll be more aggressive with their defensive scheme. Now, you know, same thing. One thing and doing it is two different things entirely.
So the coaches believe what we believe is what you're saying.
Yeah.
He was just miscoached in his past, and now we're going to get the best out of him. So
yeah.
I think the guy's an athletic freak, okay? He's fast, he's big, he's strong. I don't see why they can't find some way to use him.
And now Rud Dog just hopped on the podcast too. And Rud Dog, your thoughts about Jared Davis making the roster here from the linebacker position?
Oh, I really like his chances. I mean, this roster at that position in particular is certainly up in the air. No one's settled there. I don't think anyone's won that job at any of those positions yet. So Jared Davis has a lot of experience. He finally left the Lions, you know, got some outside perspective. Who knows what that might have done for his game. Obviously, he didn't stick where he was, so, you know, it's not like it.
Yeah, he didn't like what he saw outside of Detroit.
Right, which is interesting.
Can you blame him?
Right. But no, I mean, he's got the athletic ability. He's now going to have coaches who are going to, you know, see about putting him in the best position to succeed. And, hey, I hope it works out. I think there's a good chance it does.
And then you mentioned someone else that we all find intriguing, UJ, Malcolm Rodriguez. I think a lot of us are really excited to see what he can do in training camp here and in those early preseason games.
Very excited. I mean, he is a little small in stature, relatively speaking, in the NFL kingdom. But, man, that dude is jacked, and he's strong, and he's fast, and just is such an instinctive player. I think it's going to be hard to keep him off the field, really. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out in training camp and some of the preseason games. I'll bet he gets a lot of playing time in preseason. We'll get a good look at him. So, I'm just pretty excited to see him play.
Hot take, UJ. I bet he'll be at least a first and second down starter to start the season. I think he's going to be an early down run stopper. At the very least,
hot take.
His skill set
sizzling
and
hot
abilities, I think, will lend it to contributing very early on rundowns because he's got that instinct, and he's strong, and he's powerful, like UJ was talking about. He knows how to take on linemen, take on blockers, and I think his instincts in that aspect of the game is really going to come out early, and you know, because his height's going to be his issue. So I think that's where coverage is where, you know, we'll see what he's really got, if he can make up for that diminutive size. But I think he could be an early down starter and stuff the run, shoot through the gaps, and take out running backs in the backfield. I see it happen.
I mean, I think he has a decent chance of being a starter by the end of the season, but not I don't think the beginning of the season. Just he would have to outperform the rare linebacker we have at linebacker.
Well, it all depends on how fast he adapts to the system. I mean, last year Derek Barnes was kind of highly touted, and we thought we got such a bargain with him, and I still think we do, but he had a hard time adapting to the system. And early indications are in the preseason camps that Rodriguez was just getting it immediately.
Just
really smart. So I think he could be ahead of the game in that regard, you know?
Exactly.
So, So that kind of, you know, follows up what Rud Dog said. I think he's got
I'll be interested to see what he does in training camp. Cause like you said, UJ, the early indications are that he's picking up everything right away, and that they love his motor. They love he's just a hard hitter.
Yeah. I mean, we heard a lot of positives about Barnes last year in training camp, but he didn't actually end up starting.
The thing is, I think the biggest thing is his cerebral. I think everyone's noting his instincts, and I don't think Barnes was that. Barnes was always fast, you know, explosive, no one was saying this guy is all over the field, understanding, you know, in showing great intuition. They were marking, usually, if I remember correctly, just his tenacity, his speed, his attributes that, you know, are easy to implement, because that's the stuff you just go out and show on the field without necessarily being successful, you know, in things like pass coverage and the like that require a lot of understanding. And
yeah,
go on.
I think Barnes impressed fans more than he did coaches last year, mm-hmm. you know, because there's a lot of hype from fans about him. But he didn't get the playing time, or, you know, I mean, he did play, but
yeah, you know, occasionally he'd make flashy plays. I mean, still think he's gonna be a very good player once he really figures it out. But slightly longer than some others. But I think he's gonna be a great player.
Chris Board is another interesting name here too, free agent from the Ravens. Yeah. At the very least, I think he's gonna make the roster as a special teamer. Played over 300 snaps in special teams for the Ravens the last 3 years.
I'd say he's one of my favorites to win one of these starting spots, that linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, he's finally getting his shot here to get a starting role.
When you've come up through a system like the Ravens and they're, you know, regretfully watching you leave, I think that's a good sign that you're ready to make a jump in your career. And he was already a contributor for them, so I have really high hopes for him, actually.
Definitely. Anzalone, defensive player of the year.
In the running, for sure.
Well, he'll be a starter. You know, they like what he does out there. And they like his motor, so he'll be there.
I don't know.
He does have a great motor. Man, he's all over the field. All over the field, that guy.
I'm going to say something crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not starting come game one. Honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I could see it, but I hope he proves me wrong.
I would guess he would be starting.
I'm going to throw my dark horse out there too, okay? And it's going to be Josh Woods, my dark horse.
Ooh, yeah.
To make this roster up. And only based on one game that I saw him play. And I'm just testing my memory here. The last game of the season we played against the Packers, and I believe he had like 132 tackles and, you know, 2 sacks, 7 or 8 sacks in that one game. It was incredible. He played a great game. I could be exaggerating the numbers slightly, but he had a great game. And I mean, like, he was all over the field making tackles.
Didn't he rip the quarterback's head clear off on, like, that one play? Like, that
I just don't know where that came from. You know, all of a sudden he had his. So I'm just putting him out there as my dark horse for this roster.
Yeah.
Not that he'll be a starter, but I think he'll see some playing.
This whole competition.
All right, mark tape, guys.
Yeah. This whole competition.
All right, let's move on to another position group now. Linebacker, right. Again, really fascinating and a area of weakness for a while now for Lions. So let's hope they can turn it around. But Bob, what's another group that you want to look at here?
Let's talk about the O-line, because that should be our strength. Yeah. If we're all healthy, that's our centerpiece for this offense.
It's team, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if everybody's healthy, I mean, I think on paper we've got like the sick line.
I believe in
everybody
one rating we were number three, I think, third best line by somebody. I can't remember.
That's insulting. They're gonna go for number one.
I'm just ready for them to prove it finally. Like, I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm ready for them to play together.
That's what
the
I mean.
Lions,
like, we
projected starting five last year, didn't play a single snap together. And of course, that's starting five.
These predictions.
Left tackle Taylor Decker, left guard Jonah Jackson, center Frank Ragnow, right guard Big V, and then right tackle Penei Sewell. And those five did not play a single snap together last year due to injury.
Ready to see that.
It'll be exciting to see Frank Ragnow back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, Matt Nelson's still on the roster. Evan Brown, I think, is a really solid backup to have on this team.
Definitely.
Sure. I think he's definitely proved himself. Matt Nelson, it'll be interesting to see if he can stick around. Logan Stenberg, another big year for him, UJ. See if he can stick around on the roster.
You're going to see the rise of Logan Stenberg, okay? It's going to happen. Trust me.
I mean, I like him as a potential replacement for Big V at some point if he doesn't work out.
Well, he could be. I'm telling you, this guy, they're not going to lose this guy. They're going to keep him. He's going to stay on the roster.
For a team that had 3 wins last year, to have a group this strong is so unique. Coming into a year that they had. I know they had injuries.
Their injuries were part of why that year was so bad. So, you know, it's not because we had a good line that it was because they were all decimated that we were bad last year. So, I mean, that kind of explains it, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, let's have no mystery injuries, like a pinky that's sore. Like, oh, you can't play for 8 games.
Right? With the, you know, right. Oh, you mean like Decker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was,
yeah, that was so bizarre. And the fact they didn't say anything for a while either, I thought it was, as we noted, also really bizarre.
I'm so excited to see Sewell in year two with a NFL weight program off season, and they're just talking about his strength
as well.
Oh man!
Wow! So men can have babies.
So he's got dad strength now too to add to it. Oh my!
Yeah. Wow!
Yeah, and he's
gonna just tear people apart. I can't wait.
Dad jokes are gonna be tearing up the locker room. It's gonna be awesome.
He's gonna say dad lines as he stands over guys. He's pancaked. Like, did you enjoy the pancakes for breakfast? Or come on, you are the dad.
I want to see him posterize Aaron Donald this year.
Yeah, what's the line he's going to say though? What's the dad line?
Come on, help me
out. You're the dad.
We're ready for that.
Think about it.
But I think Big V's going to be playing. You know, I think they like what he did in the run game last year.
Yeah,
but he'll be eventually shuffled out after this year, I think. But I think I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bob. I think
he'll be a big part of it this year.
I think Sewell got married, not had a baby. So
not dead.
Let me update you on that one. But
starting the rumors. Sewell's listening to the podcast. What the hell?
I know. I mean, other guys competing for the spot: Matt Nelson, roster spots: Matt Nelson, Stenberg, Evan Brown, Tommy Kramer, Dan Skipper. Names we've heard for the past couple of years that have managed to hang around. Obinna Easy, Zion Obied, Ryan McCollum, and Kevin Jarvis. But I think this is one of the few groups that we have a definitive we know who the starters are.
Oh,
not a lot
of
competition.
Yeah, the fight is for the backup positions. That's it. So,
but I don't even think, you know, that's true to in a sense. But hey, if it's a real camp, these coaches are true. Then no one's job is safe. I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm not saying Sewell is in jeopardy of losing his job, but these guys need to all show up. And you don't ever rest on your laurels in the NFL. You think Big V thinks his job is safe? I guarantee you, he does not, because it's not. No one's
Big
job
B-
is safe.
Yeah, Big V definitely improved a lot last year compared to where he was 2 years ago, I'd say. So if he can remain healthy and improve, I think having Sewell right there, who was like who he was training with even before Sewell got drafted by the Lions, and that camaraderie they have, I think, is really key.
Sure. I'm just saying, if someone like Stenberg shows up to camp and has made strides in his technique and just starts destroying people, you're not going to keep him off the field if he looks better than Big V, you know, and that's the nature of the game.
Oh, of course, yeah.
If someone looks better, you know, you play your best five linemen, so no one's safe, but that is the safest, I guess.
Doesn't that just apply to every position in football, what you're saying there?
It should.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, because it needs to be set.
So maybe
no
like quarterback.
Safe.
Well, I mean, Penei Sewell's not competing for a spot, despite...
Dan Skipper is not going to overtake.
He will if Penei Sewell just suddenly starts missing blocks all the time, but that's not going to happen. So.
All right. Anyway.
An extension of the offensive line is the tight end group.
Definitely.
And we have TJ Hockenson, obviously, in a contract year, no less. Brock Wright, James Mitchell, and Devin Funchess. Devin Funchess is a really interesting figure to note, competing for the tight end spot here. Probably not going to be a big blocker, considering he's played wide receiver his whole career, but definitely as a receiving tight end possibility, someone to watch out for. But Brock Wright, James Mitchell are probably competing for that tight end number two spot.
Yeah, I kind of liked Brock Wright last year. I mean, he wasn't great, but he did contribute a bit, and I think he's got potential. And I think Cox is going to have a good year this year with the, if everyone's healthy, they're going to be able to spread the ball around a little more. They had to rely on him and, what's his face? Running back.
DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift. It was like DeAndre Swift and Hawk were the offense for a little while there.
Yeah.
They'll be able to spread the ball around more this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't underestimate when you're in a contract. These players are in a contract here. They definitely, at least historically, seem to step it up another level because they know they're. I mean, the next 5 years are on the line, and that's probably like the last big contract those guys usually get.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's one thing the Lions, you got to give them credit for what they've done with this team. They've created a lot of competition in camp. So, you know, in one way, we've raised the talent level significantly, I think, and created great competition battles in camp. So it's going to be really fun. There's no one's job is safe, like Red Dog was saying. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch these battles.
On Hard Knocks.
Yeah, did you see that the Lions they reached out like wanting to get on Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
So
really, I like that.
Yeah.
Well,
they made like an aggressive attempt. They didn't just like let it come to them.
I think that's smart. Honestly,
some people think that was inevitable anyway, so they decided to just get out in front of it and
you know what?
Ask for it.
Here's the thing. I think you can make a serious argument that marketing is underrated and the importance of an organization and their team, like in sports. I think a good marketing program can do a lot to contribute to the success of your program. And like, I think it's undeniable that what it generates for your team when you give them that exclusive inside look on a national broadcast network like HBO and let everyone look inside. It boosted the Browns like profile significantly after they were on it. And this team is building energy, lots of positive energy right now. Dan Campbell's been doing it from day one. Brad Holmes, they all are working together. Sheila Ford, to build positive energy, and that includes marketing and good image around the country. And the more people think positively about the Lions, the better. You build positive energy, and that's how you build momentum into a season and all the way through to a Super Bowl. And marketing's huge for that. So I love the fact that they went out and got the thing that's going to put a huge spotlight on their team, because they want everyone to see just what they're doing and what they got going on, because they're on a mission and they don't give a shit.
A better spotlight would be to win a playoff game, I think. Yeah. It'd be a bigger spotlight than
I would agree
HBO.
But that doesn't discount the spotlight. This does.
As far as marketing, I mean, I don't know about the national marketing, how that makes a difference on the team, but as far as filling the seats, because Ford Field was down last year in attendance.
Yeah.
But I think having
second worst in the league.
Aiden Hutchinson's going to sell some tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's going to be big right there.
And winning sells tickets. Winning kills all.
But, I mean, do you guys follow the Detroit Lions YouTube channel or, like, their website? They put out a lot of good stuff right now where they're, like, giving insights to the players and the team. They're putting up, like, these funny question boards in the hallways. And I think that stuff's brilliant. You bring these people, because if you listen to our Lady Lions the other day talking, they were talking about the people on these teams. They want to get to know these people, and you know, you give that insight, and that's just brilliant marketing. You bring more people, women, and everybody in to watch these Lions, because they want everybody, all eyes on them as they make their run and put this thing together, because they know they're building it right.
Well, talking about people you love, Rudd Dog, let's talk about one in particular that I don't think will, or at least I think has a very good chance of not making the roster. That's Quintez Cephus. So let's go to the wide receiver group here a little bit.
All right.
I think Lox, Amon-Ra, Sun God, St. Brown, DJ Shark. I would say Josh Reynolds as well. And I think Leif Raymond is pretty much a lock based on the contract that they gave him. So that's four wide receivers right there. Now, do they carry five or six? I don't know. But Trinity and Benson, Quintez Cephus. I know I didn't mention Jameson Williams, but I don't think he's going to – I think he's going to be
on
the injury list still
by
the time the season starts.
That was the one hope for Cephus making that.
It'll
be that extra spot.
Probably.
It'll be funny if he loses out to Pimpleton.
He ain't going to lose out. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Here's my hot take right now. He's not only going to make this roster, he's going to be one of the starting receivers come day one. He might be across the field from DJ Chark. So
over who?
Over everybody that's behind him. Obviously.
Until Williams gets healthy.
Over
that
Reynolds.
Includes Reynolds, but I think he'll rotate with Reynolds. Reynolds will be in there plenty. I think all those guys are going to see plenty of action, but all Cephus does when he gets on the field is get results. And these guys know it. They've asked it from him, and every day he shows up to practice, and he shows it to them. They're not just going to cast this guy away when he shows nothing but success. So, I mean, as long as he stays healthy, he makes this team, and I believe he'll be starting day one.
Yeah, and I think he gives us a different kind of look than the other receivers, too, in regards to toughness and things like that. You know, people compare him to Anquan Boldin in his style or something. But there's something to be said for that. Having a guy with that kind of toughness, he might be a great matchup for maybe not every team, but for certain teams, he could be a great matchup. And yeah, I think he's going to be a valuable part of this roster. I do too.
Yeah.
So I'm a road dog on this one.
I mean, he's got a good chance. I mean, he's got good hands and he's good at those 50-50 balls. You know, he's a different dimension than some of the other speedsters.
He also gets separation despite his speed. I mean, he's been a vertical threat in times when guys like Marvin Jones and Galladay couldn't get, you know, a foot away from anybody, and he's getting open.
But Galladay was really good with the Lions.
I mean, he also just had no separation skills at all half the time. Anyway, my point is, the dude can do it all, despite his supposed lack of speed. He's not a one-dimensional receiver. He shows up at every level of the field. So, hey, I mean, if you want to bet against him, you know, and like wasting money, by all means.
Well, I guess we're split on that one, huh, Z? Kind of split on Cephus.
Well, I mean, I think if Williams isn't on the roster to start the year, then Cephus will be on the roster. Will he be in the starting three receivers on the field? No, I don't think so. You still have Tom Kennedy, who has maybe an outside chance. I don't know much about Pimpleton. That will be a very interesting one to see in camp. But, I mean, like Red Dog is saying, they offer different skill sets. So I would think Pimpleton would fill more of the Khalif Raymond type role in this.
I've also heard of Cephus mentioned as quality special teamer. So, I mean, just for the argument's sake.
Said that?
I've heard him from coaches. I can't remember exact. I got to look it up again, okay. But I've heard it mentioned. So I'm just saying.
I was saying he already knows he's on the bubble, so he's playing for the special teams.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Is that how he's making the Hall of Fame, through special teams?
Oh, no. He's going to. I already told you. Start.
Best bubble player ever.
All right, so that's the wide receiver group. It'll be fascinating to see what happens there. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about, especially as training camp gets underway. But Trinity Benson, we didn't really mention him, but I think him and Cephus, if it comes down to it, that's the real
so
battle there.
What's the hard number you guys are cutting for the roster?
Probably right
off
about
at
that.
Six? Receivers make the roster? Is that your number?
I don't think it's more than six.
I think it'll be six. Seven.
Six, yeah, I think six, too.
I do, too.
I think we keep seven, too. But I think we got a lot of talent there right now, and some of those guys are multi-dimensional. So
yeah,
they did say, I think it was Campbell or Holmes, I can't remember who said it, that there's probably going to be a really good receiver that's going to end up getting cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll end up on some other team. So there goes Cephus.
Seven seems a little excessive.
At least Trinity.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be seven. It'll be six.
Yeah.
So let's flip it over. Back to the defense. I want to focus on the defensive line, my favorite position group. Okwara, it'll be fascinating. As far as training camp, just what I want to see. I want to see if Okwara is healthy.
Yeah.
Obviously,
Romeo?
Torn Achilles. Yes, Romeo Okwara, sorry.
I think we'll be lucky to see him play this year, personally.
Hmm.
With that Achilles injury.
Possible.
Yeah, it'll be really fascinating.
I hate to say that, but, you know, I'd love to see him play, but I just don't know.
Yeah, he's not taking reps as of the beginning of training camp.
No.
Not good.
We've talked a lot on this podcast this summer about how we are expecting big things out of Aleem McNeil.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a roster lock. You have Brockers sitting around, I guess.
Not a lock.
Yeah, well, no. I think he's a lock.
Why is he a lock? You're very loose with the term lock, I feel.
A lock.
Like, you just lock people into this roster.
I don't think
he is
a lock.
Are even close to locked into this roster.
Give me a
he's
moment.
He's got great leadership qualities, but he didn't live up
to his
billing.
We've added so much talent. I just don't see how you cast away any, you know, young potential guys for a guy like
him.
I'll
tell you why. Because he's going to cost $8 million against the cap.
Yeah.
And if you get rid of him.
Dan Campbell can't think like that.
You're keeping him. You are keeping him with $8 million against the cap. You're not going to cut him and let him go somewhere else. So when you're not going to get any cap freedom.
Yeah. You will if you have a better player on your roster.
I don't know if there's a better player on the roster to warrant not keeping him around for what you're paying him.
I mean, we'll see how Cam shakes out. But Dan Campbell can't think that way. Dan Campbell has to think, build the best team he can possibly assemble. And that,
I don't think he's a bad player, Red Dog. He's just, he's a veteran. He's been around. He's got good leadership qualities. He's a good leader.
I'm not hating on him. I just don't think he's safe. I don't think he's locked.
The salary is an issue, though.
I mean, sure.
Bob, do you think he's a lock? Do you agree with me?
I agree with you. I think he's a lock with the money involved. I mean, that's.
Yeah, he was not, he wasn't very good last year, but maybe in this new 4-3 defense, he'll step up better. It's more akin to what they were running.
But if he's looking sluggish and slowing down in camp, like, they're just going to hold on to him for what? For morale? He'll be a backup?
No,
I mean, he'd be exceptionally horrible to get cut, but I think he's a lock.
Really? You think he's got that much?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't.
When he's the fourth highest paid player in the team, so. In terms of annual salary.
I mean, but that's it's a meritocracy still. I mean, you can't just keep people around because if he's not earning
his paycheck.
Yeah,
it's a meritocracy.
I'm just saying, if these dudes, these young dudes are all blowing off the ball and making him look old, he's not sticking on this team. That's just not going to happen. You don't keep.
He'll be a rotational guy at the worst.
Yeah. You're getting blown away. I don't know.
That'd be hard. Some pretty college athletes.
These guys get paid, and they're going to stay on the roster based on their salary. It would take him. I don't know. He would have to have literally lost a step and a half, two steps this offseason.
What about the guys we got who are coming out probably 5 steps faster than them already? Guys like Josh Pascal, guys like
not even
going to
probably start the season.
Guys like
All right, you're betting on Cephas. You should bet on that he's going to be cut too. If you're that confident.
I'm not betting. I'm just saying. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, well,
if he's
you know.
All right.
Josh Pascal doesn't look like he's going to be participating much in training camp.
He's got to get healthy. I'm just saying we've hired a lot of freaky athletes lately. So
weird pick still. Weird pick. The Josh Pascal one still kind of. We'll see what happens there. Do you guys still trust and believe?
Oh, I love the pick. I can't wait to see that guy suit up.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, I hope it turns out well. I just thought it was a weird pick at the time. And
guy's a monster.
Now he looks like he's...
Some people believe he never draft hurt players.
Didn't Brad Holmes say that?
Very early.
Brad Holmes used to say that, but he also said that he's open-minded.
Right.
So obviously he is.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see, besides, of course, Hutchinson, I want to see big things from Levi Onwuzurike in this training camp. And see, we heard the claims about how he was unhealthy throughout most of the last year with the back issues, and he kind of had to force it to get playing time, even though he's playing through pain. Well, here he is. He had the whole, he's had several months to get ready. So no excuses now, in my opinion, and he's got to start showing a little something based on where he was drafted.
Yeah.
I mean,
not to put the pressure on you, Levi, but we just need to see a little more on you, buddy.
But
Yeah,
he's got to be healthy.
Yeah,
but,
Charles.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Charles Harris replicate what he did last year for the first time in his career? Can he repeat?
That would be nice. That was a great value when they got him.
Rushing across from... Hutch is only going to make that easier.
Yeah, can we talk about Hutchinson? Are you guys as excited as I am about seeing that?
Oh, yeah. I was just trying to capture everybody that we haven't talked about.
No, I know, but
we've talked
about
Hutch all summer. So
I'm just jumping out of my chair about the guy. I can't wait to see him on the field in a live game.
You have his jersey yet?
Not yet. But
I agree with you, Bob. It's going to be fun.
Have you guys seen all the agility videos he's been posting and stuff? The training? He just looks so freakish moving. He should not be able to move like that at 6'6", 270 pounds or whatever.
He's winning everybody over. All the coaches are like, we knew he was great, but damn, he's even better than we thought. All his stuff, all the hype.
He's prime for a
Brockers is hyping him up, saying he's a man on a mission, and I'm just excited. Nice to be excited about a defensive player in the Lions.
Right? I know. How about it?
Yeah, I know. When's the last time we had an elite defender on our line?
Ooh.
Sue? Yes, since Sue.
Sue, sorry. Sue.
I mean, Ansa maybe glimpsed it a couple times, but I don't know if you call him elite.
I wouldn't call him elite.
Sue is elite. All pro.
Yeah.
Only all pro we've had.
Didn't Ansa make the Pro Bowl?
Pro Bowl, but not all pro.
Yeah, well, Ansa had the skills, but he just couldn't stay healthy.
Right.
Yep.
He was excellent player.
Did he get one? Did he got a double digit sack season though, didn't he? Wasn't in our
I believe he did.
Yeah, he did. I thought he did.
Yeah, he had one like monster.
I think it might have been 2014 when we made the playoff run, but I mean I'm just saying he was right around that, but yeah, I don't know if he'd be quite elite, but Stu for sure.
2015, 14 and a half sacks.
See, that's pretty elite. Actually.
And then 2017, 12 sacks.
He grazed it. You know, he grazed eliteness, I'd say. But yeah. I'd say Slay was pretty elite for stretches with us. Maybe if not, you know, most of it. When he was shutting down Dez Bryant against the Cowboys and stuff, like, the dude could be legit. But not to Matt Patricia standards, though, you know. So, is he going to be that good?
Yeah. Elite's a tough word. Like, where do you draw the line of elite? Is it, like, top five or top three? Oh. That's what I'm curious. What,
top 10's probably pretty elite. I mean, when you're talking about the best players in the world at what they do.
I'm seeing Hutch, you want to be elite where he's showing up in the Monday Night Football highlights. I mean, not where I'm not on Monday Night Football, but, you know, like in the national highlights, like that's a featured guy, you know, like that everyone talks about.
Like,
you know,
compare him to the other guys at the position, the Bosa's, the Watts, you know, those that, you know what it looks like to be elite, and those guys are that. So I imagine he should be looking something along like that, along those lines.
Yeah, if you want to get a little excited, go back in Hutch's college films and see some awesome shit that we're going to now have on our team.
Especially against Ohio State.
It's going to be great. Oh, my God. We haven't had a guy like that.
Other guys battling it out. Austin Bryant, a familiar face we've seen around here. He's hovered around the end of the roster. We've heard good things about him this summer. Deshaun Cornell, he's still hanging around there.
I've heard good things about him, too.
Good things about him, too. Yeah, he's a little healthier now. Demetrius Taylor, Bruce Hector, those are defensive tackles. John Kaminsky as well.
He's
highly coveted waiver wire pickup by the Lions.
That's where the Sox played, right? Kaminsky Park?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah, that's an interesting group.
Josh Kaminsky.
A lot of interesting guys that haven't a lot to prove.
For sure.
I just want to make one comment. I think Aleem McNeil is going to be a superstar on this team. I really think so, especially with this new type of defense, attacking defense that we're going to be running. I think he is just going to be a holy terror, man. The guy is going to be unbelievable. And he's going to free things up for Hutch. He's going to, I mean, this line could be, it could be special. Obviously, it's all on paper right now, and we have to see him live up to it. But, I'm very excited.
I think you're right about it, McNeil. I think that's, there's a guy on the rise for sure. Man. Yeah, he's gonna be really.
I wouldn't be surprised if he surprises the league this year by just coming out that much better. It makes a huge jump because, I mean, you know his physical capabilities. You know, he was already solid last year, but like with some refinement.
Do you think he'll surprise? I think there's a lot of people are picking him to have a big year.
But the thing is, he's got so much upside, and with his training regimen, and now you know a little bit of body composition. I'm sure that he's done to make his body a little more efficient. He's got physical attributes that put him about the same realm as Aaron Donald. So I'm just saying that's the ceiling, maybe slightly above what he's capable of, but not by far when you consider his physical attributes. So yeah, I mean, I think he could shock some people by putting things together and just blowing things up.
Yeah. If he's Aaron Donald lover, that would shock people.
In the realm. That's all I'm saying. Would.
But I think he'll be excellent for sure.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the last defensive group we haven't really talked about yet. That's the defensive backs. Jeff Okuda, I think that before we even talk about like battles on like the roster bubble, Jeff Okuda, can he come back to some sort of, he's had a tough career so far, obviously with the injuries, also an Achilles injury he's recovering from here. You know, it'll be fascinating to see. Can he come back and be an elite cornerback? Is elite even what we want out of him, or just?
Oh yeah,
that's what we want out of him for sure.
I know, or like
need out of him.
It's still tough. Like, what it's the best we can expect out of Okuda from this Achilles injury. Especially that position, I think, is even tougher to come back from. Or maybe it's easier. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, which is the most important position you need your Achilles at? I mean, every position is important to have it. But yeah.
You know, as a skeptic, probably the biggest skeptic on this pod from the, you know, draft pick on, I think he's going to come back. I've been getting good vibes watching his videos and stuff. And yeah,
I have no idea. All right. He could suck. He could be great. Well, yeah. I mean, I literally don't even have a feeling about it. I don't know.
Well, I have a good feeling. Have you seen the videos he's been posting and stuff? He's moving. I mean,
yeah, he jumped up and down with a weight.
He's running downfield.
He ran across a field, you know, 3/4 speed. And I don't know, nothing that blew me away like him changing directions, frontwards, backwards, all that stuff. But I don't know. I'm just saying, I hope he succeeds. I really do. The guy has worked his ass off getting back, and more power to him. I hope he does. I hope he lives up to his billing.
Plus, medicine.
But I just have
so
no feeling on it. That's all I'm saying. Because we've seen nothing in the time he's been here. So.
Yeah, Achilles is not quite like an ACL where everybody seemingly comes back from it pretty easily. Achilles is still very hit or miss.
Yeah,
especially in the NFL.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, you know, if the Achilles holds up, I'm personally buying in, and especially if we have a better pass rush this year and take a little pressure off those guys.
Oh yeah, that's always a huge difference.
And if he can stay healthy and get a chance to develop, I think he's gonna be a solid guy.
He definitely has
the work ethic you need out of a guy recovering from these type of injuries. So exactly. At the very least, that gives me confidence that he can come back. But there were, you know, two pretty tough injuries in his career up to this point. But man, we're just hoping for the best for him. You know, we know he's a good guy. He's a hard worker. We want it for him. So it's tough. But Tracy Walker, can he find another? Can he step up another level this year? Can he actually force some step in the lane, force some interceptions? Because he's a good, solid tackler. I won't say he's like a ball hawk out there by any means.
Yeah, he hasn't ascended we've hoped so yet.
Deshaun Elliott, will he be his partner in crime at strong safety? Where will Will Harris fit in the defense this year? Is it going to be more of the slot, the nickel cornerback type?
That's where I think he's going to end up more, you know, especially because we've added some safety help. And they do like him, but I could see him doing more of the playing on the outside.
Huh? Yeah, I think he fits better there, where he doesn't have to worry about angles and stuff, and can just man up and try to shut guys down. He's an athletic guy, and that's I think why he did so well in the slot last year.
Yeah, geometry was not.
Yeah, angles as a tackler and stuff were just terrible. So, I think he's gonna have a battle at that position anyway. You got guys like Jacobs and Parker coming back as well. And so I like his best chances there, but whether or not he makes this roster if he can show some versatility that he's improved at safety, that would only help his cause though.
Absolutely. Iffy Melifonwu. Ooh. I think we're all really excited about just his athletic scores, obviously off the charts. We know about his athleticism. Showed some flashes last year. Also had injury issues, though, with his hamstring. So can he stay healthy? Can he take another step up this year?
I think.
And where will he play? play a little cornerback, play a little at safety.
Yeah.
I think cornerback is where they want him.
I think if everything works out, he could be like playing safety next to Walker, too.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Athleticism.
It could.
Yeah.
But I think.
Well, you know, these guys are so versatile, and they really love the versatility of these players, and a lot of them can interchange, and you know, where they're best at, I don't know. Some guys might be a little better at one or the other, but they all can move around, which is really nice.
I think cornerback's a more premium position, and if he could turn into a good shutdown outside guy, I think that's where they'd ideally like to keep him. I mean, sure, his range would be great in the middle too, though, but on the outside, if you had him across from a Warrior, I love that combo. And a Warrior is a great example for him to learn from as another tall, lengthy cornerback who, you know, has to learn all the technique that comes with having to overcome that. And That brings up Awarier, who I'm very excited to see this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot more ball hawkish last year. Still a little inconsistent, though. Can give up a lot of big plays. But like UJ was saying, can improve defensive line help this whole defensive secondary? I think yes. I that's always my philosophy, though. That's why I like the 4-3 better. I think it it helps the D-line more. It allows you to be more aggressive. I think the Lions agree with that, too.
Hey, Z, on the safeties, what do you think about your boy Joseph, Kirby Joseph?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think he's got a shot? Yeah, I mean, what do you think? So,
no, out of U of L.
I mean, I know you liked him coming out of college, right? But or at least at school you liked him. I don't know if you liked the draft pick. But
yeah, I mean, I think he's going to take some time adjusting to the NFL. I don't think we'll see him out there too much besides on special teams to start the year, if not throughout most of the year, unless he's forced to step up due to injury.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I just think he's going to have a little more of an adustment period.
So who do you see as
why I think he fell to line?
Backup safety, then. I imagined him behind Elliott, honestly.
Iffy. Brady Breeze, C.J. Moore is still on the roster. C.J. Moore is a veteran.
Yeah, I think he could definitely find a role in that rotation. What's making you with this super conservative thing? Because I feel like they like to push these secondary guys in pretty early.
Well, I just think if you watch his college tape, he has a propensity to be a little over-aggressive, and I think that's going to take some time to work that out of him a little bit and not give up the big play. And I don't think the Lions are going to want that out there right away. I think they're going to want him to get a lot of reps before they just throw him out there.
I don't know. Aggressiveness
sounds great.
That's why I think
he might be like an injury-specific like spots, like fill-in
I think
player.
So, because I think you have Elliott and Melifonwu out there, they won't need him that much. You know, like, I think those guys are going to be out in the field a lot.
Did I miss something? Is Iffy being, like, cross-trained to be expected in this role of safety now? I thought he was primarily
they've mentioned it, yeah. They've talked about it.
They listed him. They listed him on their depth chart behind DeShone Elliott as the starting safety and third in the cornerback spot.
So wow.
According to their Lions' own release depth chart, he's closer to being a safety than a cornerback currently.
Wow, okay.
But I think they expect him to move around, like, wherever he's needed.
Doesn't mean all that much right now, but, I mean, sure, that's interesting. I didn't see that yet. Wow. I mean, the guy's size is so good. It's an obvious fit there, so I'm not surprised, but that's cool.
For sure. Man, there's a lot of training camp battles, and we are excited to hear and see what can be or what's going to come out of this training camp. And then we're also excited.
Are we going to talk about running backs or quarterbacks, or do you want to just skip that?
We go over the running. I don't think quarterback we need to go over too much right now. But running back we could touch on
before
here.
Before really we quick. Leave defensive backs, can we talk a little bit about where you see Jerry Jacobs and A.J. Parker in the battle for starting? I could see Jerry Jacobs being starting opposite of Awarier start this season if he gets healthy.
He's injured. He's not healthy yet, though. That's the only
Jacobs,
thing.
Yeah. Jacobs, I don't know.
How bad's his prognosis? Is he out that indefinitely still?
Well, he probably won't make the beginning of the season.
Oh, I didn't realize he was that bad still. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Parker's coming, though, isn't he? I heard he's coming.
Yeah, he's healthy. Will he take over for Awarier?
Don't we have a veteran we're forgetting about? I feel like, didn't we sign a corner, like a former first-round
pick?
I mentioned Mike Hughes.
Yeah.
Veteran cornerback.
He's probably got the best chance of starting across from Awarier day one.
Yeah, if Okuda isn't up to speed for sure. If not,
if he doesn't win,
still start because Okuda, they'll probably bring back slowly.
Right. Unless Iffy wins the spot. Pretty dope.
But yeah, we can move on to running back really quickly here before we wrap up the pod. Swift, obviously, starting running back, then battling out for the rest of it, Jamal Williams, Craig Reynolds, and Jamar Jefferson. I think Williams as well, pretty much a roster lock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have Reynolds and Jamar Jefferson battling out for that last running back spot.
Igwebike.
And I mean, yeah, after last year, I wouldn't be surprised if someone else pops up out of the blue and competes. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I like the way they've challenged Swift, though. And if this line holds together, it could be a big year for him.
You know? Yeah.
Got to stay healthy. Got to yep. play through injury.
Yeah, you know the difference between injury and being hurt. Right? Yes. Is that this? Yeah.
That was Deuce putting that on him, too.
Yep.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Craig Reynolds said he's trying to be Hulu this year, not Netflix. In that context, he's saying Hulu was an upgrade from Netflix. So.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think we got some good hungry guys there. You
nice
know?
Talent.
I think it's going to be a good room there for the running backs.
Yeah.
Some high upside and some real good. Solid,
right? And I think the Lions are going. It's going to be a lot like last year, where they're going to. They want to really establish that run game to set up the pass.
And of course, that O line is just going to be key to it all, really.
Right? Can they stay healthy? Stay healthy. Frank Ragnow is not going to stub his toe. Taylor Decker is going to just keep all his fingers intact. Well, I guess he didn't lose one, but. He did something last year to miss half the season, pretty much.
The spiral fracture.
But let's just hope those guys can stay healthy. We really, at least just give us one game. I want to see one game with them all. Right.
Yeah.
At least give us that. Come on, football gods. all right. And then obviously Jared Goff, Tim Boyle, David Blau. I don't think we need to mention them too much. Special teams. Riley Patterson's battling Austin Siebert for the kicker position. And then Jack Fox, still our punter. I don't think I don't even know if we have a camp leg for him. I think there is. It's not listed here. But anyways. Long snapper, Scott Daly. Looks like he'll remain.
Who do you think our backup quarterback actually is come season?
Tim Boyle.
You think it's Boyle? Didn't last they say like that Blau passed him on the depth chart or something? I thought I heard something like that. Who knows?
They're battling out. I think they'll both be on the roster, though.
Do you think they believe in these guys or just felt like that was one position they could just kind of not do something about this year?
I think they believe in Goff, which is why they didn't add.
Well, yeah, but if Goff goes down, what do you got?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they believe in them enough. I think when they got Boyle. I think Boyle's got a great arm, but and I know he has the learning curve. I know I'm the highest on him in this room, but...
I mean, he did enough for them to win some games last year, like to at least put him in a position to win.
I was
going to
say, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, hearing him talk, I think he took up the challenge. So we'll see what he does with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that could be a new thing with this like team. They give guys a little more of a chance to develop stuff. They seem to want to really believe in developing and not necessarily take and discard and take and discard until you get the right guy or something. Like they want to bring the best out of these guys. And, hey, Boyle's upside does look legit if he somehow put it all together.
For sure. All right. Before we wrap up, I know, Rud Dog, you want to mention just something about all these teams are bringing out their uniforms. A lot of interesting ones. Like the Bengals came out with like this white helmet with black stripes, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, the Cardinals had a black helmet, which I didn't really like. The Bears have this weird one that looks like Syracuse.
I kind of like the Bears with the orange helmet.
They look like Syracuse. I don't know. I thought
Browns
just
an alternate Browns helmet. Like tweeted at them for stealing their helmet.
It's a little brighter orange than the Browns, right? I don't know. I'm colorblind.
So what do you think, guys? Do you think the Lions should be jumping in on this trend of these new updated uniforms?
Well, they can do it next year.
Yeah, next year I think they will. But I don't think I hope they don't do the black.
No.
Oh, yeah. Stay away from the black, please.
I'm worried about that, too.
That's just the Mad Millen thing. Forget it, man. But, you know, Connor posted something on our little text thread, kind of a 90s throwback thing, and that looked pretty good, I thought. I think it looked sharp. The
what if they go all Honolulu blue, like the helmets, too?
That's what I thought our color rush always should have been. Like, I never understood the way we went before.
All Honolulu blue. You're talking about for the alternate helmet, right? Not for their daily
alternate
helmet.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, the alternate, yep.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
It might be cool. Yeah.
I hope if they're changing the uniforms next year, I hope they change the font on the numbers. I don't like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just go with the more block, traditional block lettering.
You think they're too big?
They look tougher.
No, I don't like the weird font. It looks like some clip art style.
Yeah, I'm not a huge
font.
Fan of it.
You know,
yeah.
Like, just go with block numbering. You know?
One version of a helmet I heard was all white with like silver and blue accents. I don't know. What do you guys think of that?
A white helmet would be.
I could see
really
an all silver helmet with the lion logos on the side, no stripe. But you got to keep a wide stripe in the middle. That skinny stripe they did for a few years there looked shitty.
I think the white helmet, like with those horrible road unis that they currently have, would be kind of interesting. I like their white road unis. So.
Like a white, like the Cardinals white too. With just the lion on it.
It'd be cool for the alternate helmet to do the old lion logo on there. You know, the one they got rid of.
Yeah.
Be kind of neat.
Bubbles?
But they should, you
bubbles?
Know, the NFL
should.
Did
you call them bubbles?
Yeah. Yeah.
Couple games a year, you know, do something crazy, you know, like the colleges do. I think the colleges do it right. I think the NFL just doesn't want to copy them because it, you know, college thought of it first or something.
Have you guys ever seen Gladiator? Remember the big gladiator? He fights with the golden helmet. It's like a lion head. But then, what if the whole helmet is like a big lion, the gaping maw being, and it's like a.
Wow. On that note,
yeah, right.
Wow. Okay.
That was our note.
Hey,
there we go.
That was a cool idea.
We were waiting for it. It came. It finally came.
It's it.
I think it's
all right. So we'll wrap it up here. So July has ended. August has begun. That means we are a month away from the start of the NFL season. Probably less than 30 days from the first college football game. So that's always exciting too. Although, we don't need to get into college real live and discussion right now, but, interesting things happening there. Anyways, man, just football season's right around the corner. You gotta love it. Mm-hmm. Best time of the year. But thank you to our producer, Kid Jay, for sidelinereport.com for hosting the podcast. Really appreciate that. If you want to download the podcast, please subscribe to Spotify, Apple. Looks up Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Subscribe, download it, leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that as well. Instagram, drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter, at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on the training camp battles. Who you want to see make it? Will Cephas make it? Let us know.
we will.
But, man, a lot of exciting stuff. I think August 8th is when Hard Knocks premieres as well. So keep that on your calendar.
I'll wait for that.
It's every Sunday night, I think. Every Sunday night.
And I'm going to make a prediction, even though I made this weeks ago, because some other writers have kind of jumped on this. I'm predicting that Hard Knocks is Monday the best night. Ratings they've ever had this year.
Ooh, I like that.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
Well, it's a good ratings. It'll set the pace for the Super Bowl run. So,
right.
All right, so thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always,
go. Lions!
Woo!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.